Well, this morning we're going to actually be kind of wrapping up. Oh, okay, no drums this morning when I talk about wrapping. If you weren't here last week, you missed out. I busted out in some rhymes. But this morning we're going to be wrapping up our Christmas series titled Advent Conspiracy. Rick's like, do you want me to go up there on the drums? We're going to wrap up, though, in a different way. Different type of wrapping up. Our Christmas series style, Advent Conspiracy. It's a series that's been challenging us to rethink how we do Christmas, or at least for some of us to rethink how we do Christmas, because the reality is Christmas has become something totally different than what it started out as some 2,000 years ago. And as we started this series, I shared with you a little story about a group of pastors who got together and started talking about how could they do Christmas differently in their churches. How could they change what Christmas has become? How could they recapture the true heart of Christmas? And it was out of these conversations that this thing known as Advent Conspiracy came about. Now, it's an idea that started with just four pastors, with just four churches back in 2006. But now, thousands of churches worldwide have jumped on this idea of Advent Conspiracy and have joined in this conspiracy, us being one of those churches. And the whole purpose of this Advent Conspiracy is to have us really stop and think, what is Christmas really about? Not what has the world made it, but what is Christmas really about? And so this Advent Conspiracy has us focused kind of on four main topics: worship fully, spend less, give more, and love all. And so a couple weeks ago, we started off with the first one, worship fully. And I shared the fact that we won't be people who spend less, who give more, and love all, if we aren't learning to worship fully. Because it starts with worship. That's what it's about. It's about learning to worship the King. So then last week, we combined the next two topics. If you were here, and we talked about spending less and giving more. And in that, we were challenged to make sure that we're not spending money to buy fulfillment and contentment. Because a lot of times, that's why we spend so much at Christmas. What are we trying to buy? We're trying to buy fulfillment. We're trying to fulfill and bring contentment to whether it's our spouse or our children or the people that we love. And we talked about the fact that we can't buy contentment because contentment can only come from God. Plus, we talked about learning to give more like Jesus gave, right? Because give more doesn't mean give more money. You know, that's what the consumer side says, right? Yeah, give more money. It's not giving more money. It's learning to give more like Jesus gave, not just giving presents, but giving our presence with a C. You see, Jesus gave himself, and we need to learn to give ourselves in the same way. And that leads us now into this week's topic and God's desire for us, which is to love all. Love all. Now, love, when you say that word, love, it's such an interesting world in our word, in our world. I will get this. It's an interesting word in our world today. All right? Having trouble. I'm going to take a drink of water this morning. I know. Probably won't help, but hey, it's my excuse there. I totally lost my train of thought here. All right. Love, it's an interesting word in our world today, right? We're fascinated with this word love. right? And there are so many things that we love, and we've talked about this before. You know, we love our wife, we love our kids, right? We love our family, but we also love football, and we love food, right? And we love anything that seems cool at the time. We throw this word around. There are so many things that we love, and you know, if you listen to music at all, you'll find the word love over and over again in songs. As a matter of fact, there were quite a few number one hits over the years that the title alone had the word love. You know, you go back to 1956, some of you are like, I wasn't around then, I wasn't either. Elvis, right? He wanted you to love me tender, right? Love me tender. And then a few years later, he's saying, can't help falling in love. Right? Now, though Elvis was falling in love, the Righteous Brothers apparently had lost that loving feeling, right? As you kind of walk through. And then the Supremes, they wanted us to what? Stop in the name of love. The Beatles told us all you need is love. Maybe they were a little bit right. They got one thing right, the Beatles, right? Anybody watch The Partridge Family? You know, I Think I Love You, right? I Think I Love You. The Eagles, they were giving the best of my love. Captain and Tennille, if you remember them, I remember my sister in her wedding had Captain and Tennille's song, okay? Captain and Tennille reminded us that love will keep us together, right? REO Speedwagon vowed to keep on loving you, right? And according to the lyrics, that's all they wanted to do, right? Keep on loving you. Lionel Richie and Diana Ross sang about endless love. Tina Turner asked the question, what's love got to do with it, right? All sorts of songs that talk about love, but I think Foreigner said it best when they sang, I want to know what love is. Because isn't that truly the question all of us want to know? What is love? What is this love that the Bible talks about? What does it mean truly to love all? And when you say those words, love all, we know what all means, right? It means all. It means everybody. But what does love mean? What does it mean to love? Now, we may have our own definitions in our mind as I say that for love. But here's what I believe. We'll never understand true love until we've experienced the love of Jesus in our life. Because that's what love is. God is love. Christmas is all about Jesus' love. It's all about Jesus' love for everybody, for all. You see, the fact is we all need a Savior. We all needed a Savior before He came. We were all broken and needy. Matter of fact, that's the theology of Christmas. You want to know the theology of Christmas, if you kind of break it down to one little line. Theology of Christmas is this. God came for the poor. God came for the broken. And guess what? That's us. That's you and that's me. We're the poor. We're the broken. 2 Corinthians 8:9 says, for you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though He was rich, yet for your sake He became poor, so that you, through His poverty, might become rich. He came because He knew we were poor and broken, and He wanted to make us rich. Now, this doesn't mean that if you come to Jesus, you're guaranteed wealth and riches, okay? At least not the world's perspective of what wealth and riches are. Because what this is about God's grace. You see, Jesus left the glories and riches of this amazing place called heaven. And I don't even think we in our simple brains can even imagine or understand what it was like, what it is like, what heaven is. All I know is God has said it's greater than anything we've ever imagined or ever experienced. So think about some of those greatest moments in your life, those greatest times where you just feel so wonderful and feel so good. Heaven is way beyond that. And Jesus left the glories and riches of this amazing place called heaven, and he came down into this sin-filled, sin-scarred world so that you and I, who are poor and broken, could enjoy the riches of a relationship once again with the Father. The truth is, we're all in need of God. The good news of Christmas is that Jesus has come for the poor. And since we're all the poor, Jesus has come for all of us. He came for all of us because he loved all of us. You see, Christmas changed the world. Christmas brought hope to all humanity. And this isn't the hope like our world talks about, like Gary talked about when he lit the candle there. It's not the hope that the Seahawks win, the hope that I don't ask him to come up here and ever share. It's not that kind of hope, right? It's that assurance of who God is. Christmas brought hope to all humanity. The fact that we have a Savior and now we can have life and life abundantly. So here's the question. If Christmas changed the world back then, can Christmas still change the world today? I hope you're nodding your heads. Of course it can. Why? Why can Christmas still change the world? Because we live in a fallen world. And guess what? Jesus is still the answer. He is still the answer. Jesus is still the hope for all humanity. The gift that was given some 2,000 years ago is still being offered today. It's being offered to anyone who's willing to take it, right? That's the thing about a gift. Someone offers you a gift, you have to receive it and open it. And it's been given to anyone, and it still is given to anyone who will receive it. Now, here's the thing. At Christmas, we talk about Emmanuel, right? We sing the song, Emmanuel, right? I won't do it because I can't go up there. All right? We sing the song Emmanuel. We talked about last week. It means God with us. He came to earth. That's what Christmas was about. He came to earth. He walked the earth. He was among us. Think about that. The God of the universe, he was among us. He was with us. But now here's the thing. If you remember in the scriptures, he came, he was among us, he died for us, rose again, right? And then if you remember in Acts, what happens? He ascends, right, into heaven to be the right hand of the Father. Remember that in Acts? He leaves the disciples and he ascends into heaven. He's gone to be with the Father. Now, so does that mean he's no longer with us? Does that mean that gift is no longer available? No. Because when he left, if you remember what he said, he told the disciples, he said, go and wait for the gift of the Father, right? When he left, he gave us something even better. He gave us the Holy Spirit, who is no longer just with us or among us, because yes, that is great. But he gave us something even better. He gave us the Holy Spirit who now lives in us. Isn't just with us. He's in us. Jesus has given us his Holy Spirit and has given us now the responsibility to carry out the mission that he started. To love the way he loved. It's our turn now. He has gone to be with the Father. And now it's our turn to partner with God and begin to live out this thing called love. To love all. To love those around us. Now here's the thing. We all know the Christmas story. And if we understand it all, we realize how amazing it is of what God did for us. The fact that He left the glories of heaven, that He came down. And then if you walk out Christmas, it leads you to Easter. The fact that He died on the earth, it's amazing. We all know the Christmas story and we know how amazing it is. How amazing God's love for us is. But here's the thing. It's not enough for us at Christmas time to just know. It's not enough for us at Christmas time to just once a year tell the story. You see, we have to do more than just tell the Christmas story. We need to be people who learn to live the Christmas story in our own lives. We need to love all in the way that Christ did. You see, that's what we're called to do as followers of Christ. When we say yes to Jesus, when the Holy Spirit comes and lives in us, we're saying we're willing to follow Him, to love the way He loves, to live the way He exampled for us to live. You see, we live in a world, I'm going to tell you, we live in a world that's tired of the talk. They've heard Christians and they've heard religion for years saying all the things that you're supposed to be. They're tired of the talk. We live in a world that wants to see that we're people who are serious, people who are actually walking the walk, who are living it out in our lives. And if you go back to the theology of Christmas, it's about loving the poor, caring for those in need, which again is all of us. It's loving and caring for everybody around us. Proverbs 14:31 says this, "He who oppresses the poor shows contempt for their maker." Who's their maker? It's God. "He who oppresses the poor shows contempt for God. But whoever is kind to the needy honors God." You see, when we love and care for those in need, the Scriptures tell us it's as if we're doing it for Jesus. It's honoring the Lord. Matthew 25:40 lays it out. It says, "I tell you the truth. Whatever you did for one of the least of these brothers of mine, you did for me." Now, that's hard for us to understand. That's hard for us to fathom and to wrap our heads around. But what that's telling us is whatever we do for someone else, whatever we do for those in need, those that are hurting, those that others a lot of times just walk by because they don't know how to help, whatever we do for them, we're doing for the Lord. We're doing for Him. He's called us to love all people, to care for the poor and the hurting. And the fact is, Jesus knows what it's like to be poor. Now, a lot of times we think, well, you know, it's God. It's Jesus. He can't fully understand this. But if you look at the story, if you really break down the Scriptures, Jesus wasn't born into the Bill Gates family. He wasn't. He was born to some simple people named Joseph and Mary. And if you read Scripture, and if you know Scripture, you can tell through the Scripture that they weren't a wealthy family. Let me give you an example. In Luke, when they presented Jesus in the temple, it says that they sacrificed a pair of doves. Now, here's the thing. The custom, when the firstborn was consecrated, the custom was to sacrifice a lamb. Now you would think, well, they're not following the custom. What's going on here? This is Jesus, right? He should follow the custom, the tradition. The thing is, you sacrifice a lamb unless you were too poor to afford a lamb. In that case, it was okay to sacrifice two doves or two pigeons. Mary and Joseph were poor. The scene in the manger tells us that, right? Where Jesus was born. Now you say, yeah, there's no more room in the inn. If they were wealthy, I guarantee you they would have found a place, right? But they didn't have any money. They were poor. And so they ended up in this stable, which was really just this cave that animals stayed in with all the stuff that animals do. And it shows us and displays for us that he was born into poverty. See, Jesus chose to give up the riches and the glories of heaven to enter humanity and to enter it not as a king with these great castles and all the glories of the world, to enter it amongst the poor and the destitute. Why? Why would he do that? It's because that's who he came for. See, because of Jesus, Christmas changed the world. And now he's calling us to simply do the same. The question I guess we have to ask ourselves is how? How does little old Darren, or how does little old you fill in the blank, change the world? I think it starts by opening our eyes. It starts by us being willing to notice the hurt and the broken people that are all around us. I hate to say this, but there are broken people all around us. There might even be many of us in this room, right? We live in Dallas, Oregon, and I love Dallas. But there's a lot of hurt, broken people in this community. And it's time for us to kind of get out of our bubbles, right? To get outside the walls of our church. Because you know what? I love having a building. And this is a great church building. But this building is not the church. We're the church. It's time for us to get outside of the walls of this church and start being the church, being who God's called us to be. To start living Christmas out on a daily basis. Every day. You know, let me say this. I was so proud of our church this year as we came together to raise money for the adoptive family. We raised about $1,600. It was awesome, a wonderful outpouring. And I'm so thankful. But you know what I was thinking as I was writing this? I was thinking, man, what if we did that every single month? What if every month we were able to give $1,500, $1,600 away to hurting, struggling people in our community? There's something about Christmas time, we get a little bit more charitable, but God's calling us to live out Christmas every single day with our lives. And I'm not just talking about money. I'm talking about living it out and learning to love and care for and reach those around us. And when you look at it, it seems like a big task. How do we change the world? How do we change Dallas? How do we change our community? It seems like a big task. And here's the thing, it can seem extremely overwhelming at times. Right? But I like what Mother Teresa said. She said this, she says, "If I look at the mass, I'll never act. If I look at the one, I will." What if we start looking for the one? If we start looking just for those opportunities that the Lord puts right around us. It's not having to go out there and be this person that changes the world, that starts this organization, you know, whatever. That may happen. It may come to certain things. But it just starts by opening our eyes to that person, that neighbor, someone around us, those people that we can help that are right near us. I love also what Andy Stanley says. He's a great pastor. Some of you may know his dad, Charles Stanley. But Andy Stanley's a great pastor in I think it's Atlanta, Georgia. But he says, "Do for one what you wish you could do for all." Just think about that. If we all just did for one what we wish we could do for all. I mean, think, how simple is that? See, the problem is, though, we tend to overcomplicate things. And I think it's important that we realize it doesn't have to be complicated. I want to read for you a scripture, Matthew 25, verses 35 and 36. It simply says this. It says, "For I was hungry, and you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty, and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger, and you invited me in. I needed clothes, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you looked after me. I was in prison, and you came to visit me." When you look at this scripture, you realize these are just practical things. It wasn't some major, complicated program. It's just simple things. Giving someone something to eat. Giving someone something to drink. Clothing someone. Helping someone that's sick. Visiting someone. You see, I think so often we're held back because of the idea that to truly make a difference, it seems like such a big task. But listen to this. God isn't asking you to change the world. Hear this. God isn't asking you to change the world. If He wants to change the world through you, He will do it. He's not asking you to change the world. He's asking you to simply change you. Because you're the only one that can change you. I'm the only one that can change me. It starts with us. And it can happen in very practical ways. And the exciting thing is that if we as Christians were to really, truly start living this way, I believe we could change the world. I believe we could change Dallas. We could change our community because we're being and doing what God has called us to do. So I encourage you this Christmas season to stop and to really think about the true meaning of Christmas and the call that we have on each of our lives to continue to live out that meaning, to love all. My encouragement would be to pray and to seek the Lord. Ask Him to show you the people He's calling you to love. Because I believe if you ask Him, He's going to show you. But here's the thing, when He shows you, the key then is to be obedient, right? The key is that when we hear His voice, we respond. It's that phrase you've heard me say before that I've taught my kids. You have to listen and obey. It's not enough if we just hear the things God's telling us to do. We have to then obey them. And here's the thing. It can be as simple as giving someone something to drink. Many of you, maybe if you've been here, you've heard me tell stories of how I used to take youth down to the Dream Center in L.A., 7 years ago, this March was the first time I ever took a team down to the Dream Center. And the Dream Center is in L.A. It serves all throughout L.A., amazing ministries. There's over 200 some ministries a day that are going out helping. They have turned L.A. upside down, and they have done an amazing job of blessing and bringing joy to people in that community. What the Dream Center has done has been amazing. And so we went down there and we wanted to be a part of what the Dream Center was doing 7 years ago. And it was my first time. And you know, each day with your group, they send you out to do certain things. And I remember one of the first things we did when we got out there, they said, "We're going to send you out to do random acts of kindness." And I thought, okay. And they said, "We're going to give you a table, stuff to make lemonade, cups, all that stuff. And we want you," they put us out on a corner in L.A. and said, "We want you to pass out lemonade to people." And I'm thinking, are you serious? You know? Because in my mind, I'm thinking, okay, I'm not going to take lemonade from someone off the street. If I'm out there walking and someone says, "Would you like a glass of lemonade?" I'm not going to be grabbing it and saying, "Oh, sure, thank you." I'm going to be wondering what's in that lemonade, right? Especially, You know, 7 years ago around this time at a religious organization's out there, it's like, Kool-Aid, no thanks, right? I'm not going to drink the Kool-Aid. So I'm literally, my mind's going, are you serious? Well, we go out, we set up our table, we get our lemonade made, and we start going out. And I was blown away. People were like, oh, I'm so thirsty. Thank you so much. And they were drinking their lemonade. And I couldn't believe. I'm like, you have no idea what I put in this stuff. You know, it could be horrible. And you're just taking it. But they were just so thankful. And it was me and two of my youth guys. It's kind of funny. It was Darren, Aaron, and Aaron. I had two youth guys, Aaron and Aaron. And so the three of us, Darren, Aaron, and Aaron, we walked up to this guy. Walked up to this guy and we had lemonade. We just said, hey, sir, would you like some lemonade? And he was like, oh, no, my stomach, I'm not feeling good. And then it opened up this opportunity. I said, oh, really, what's going on, man? Is there something we can do to help? And he began to share his story of what he'd gone through over the last week and a half. And he began to share the struggles and the difficulties and the challenges and where he was at. And by simply offering a glass of lemonade, it opened up this door for a relationship. And by the end, he ended up drinking. His stomach felt better, and he ended up drinking the lemonade. But out of that, we exchanged phone numbers. And I called this guy for several months afterwards, and we connected. And then he was gone for a while, and then about a year later, he called me back, and we would stay connected on the phone. And he ended up in San Diego. And so when my wife and I would go down for Christmas for the first 2 or 3 years, we would I went and took him and his family to lunch one time. And this connection and this relationship with this man on the street, simply handing him a glass of lemonade. Now, I haven't heard from about 3 or 4 years. I actually pulled up my phone, and I still had his phone number in there. And I called, and it was a different lady, and he doesn't have that phone number anymore. And so I just thought, I wonder if I could get a hold. His name was Mateo. Haven't heard from him for 3 or 4 years, but I know the impact I had on his life for those first 2 or 3 years. And so I don't know where he's at, but I trust that God's hand is upon him. But it's just an example of how something so simple that seems so weird to me, of just offering someone something to drink. You see, the simple things we do in the act of love can truly change and transform lives. So my encouragement is, let's be challenged to open our eyes. Let's be challenged to open our eyes and to walk out Christmas right now, but also every day as we do what God's called us to do, which is simply to love all. Amen? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you, first of all, just for your love for us. I still can't fully fathom why you would do what you did for sinners that continue to fail and mess up. But you do. You continue to love us. You continue to pour out your grace and mercy upon our lives, Lord Jesus, and we thank you for that. And we thank you for the example that you set for us, and the fact that, Lord, as you went back to be with the Father, you gave us the Holy Spirit that we may be able to live out the life that you've called us to live, to be people that, like you, learn to love all, even those that are difficult at times to love. Teach us, Lord, how to do this. Teach us how to live this out in our life, how to open up our eyes to just the simple things. Help us not to overcomplicate what it means to be a Christian that lets our light shine. Help us learn the simple ways we can just love those around us and care for those around us in ways that draw them to you and ways that ultimately extend your kingdom. That's what it's about, Lord. It goes back to our mission, Lord, that you've given us here at Dallas Four Square Church, to love you and to love people to see your kingdom extended. As we learn to love you and as we experience your love, it enables us to love others in the same way and ultimately draws people to you, Lord. That's our heart and our desire, Lord. As we walk through Christmas this season, teach us, show us how to love in this way. Teach us, show us how to walk out this life, not just one time a year, but every day, learning what it means to serve you, to love you, to love others, to love all, Lord. We thank you for this word. We pray as we head into the craziness over the next couple days getting ready for Christmas. We just pray that in it all, you do bring us peace, Lord. That peace that comes from only you above, that peace that the word talks about, that peace that passes all understanding. Help us experience that through this Christmas, Lord. And may we be an example to others as we let your peace, as we let your love shine in and through us. Lord, we thank you and we just praise you for your word. Help us to grab it, to seal it in our hearts, and to begin to walk it out each and every day. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.